What a worship time that was. I hope you received that the way I did, that this was a powerful day to worship. And man, the praise team did an incredible job. I want to appreciate them. They bring us to the place where we are ready to receive the word. And we begin receiving the word by worshiping him who is worthy. Welcome to our fourth Easter service this weekend. It's been a powerful weekend, and you realize that looking around, it's a big crowd. It's our biggest weekend of the year. Last year, we had 2,024 attend our four services, 2,024 and 2024, and I think we're going to be more than that this year. I don't know how many we're going to end up having, but it's way more than that. And I'm glad you're here. And I hope you understand that you are here by God's providence today. And God has put you and I here for such a time as this. And now we're going to see what he's going to do. Easter. It's the word used to describe the modern day celebration of Jesus rising from the dead. Some people like to call it Resurrection Day and not use the word Easter, because Easter is linked to some evil or pagan origins. According to the New Unger Bible Dictionary, the word Easter is of Saxon origin, and it's the word Eostra, the goddess of spring, in whose honor sacrifices were offered about Passover time each year. Well, that doesn't sound so good, but neither does bunny rabbits and chocolate eggs. But we are all here today for a purpose and a calling. I don't want to ignore the pagan past that might have perverted the day that people celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I don't want to ignore how many people today might focus on bunnies and chocolate more than the resurrection event that changed the entire world. But the truth is this: people have been perverting the true ways of God for a long time now. This is not new. Christmas has Santa and reindeer that ride over top of the birth of Jesus. Easter has chocolate bunnies and eggs that ride over top the resurrection of Jesus. The world has always tried to pervert the ways of God. This is not new. So let's start with that idea today. When the world tries to take a sign from God, a revelation of God, and pervert it into a sign of man to confuse and override, at least attempt to override the sign, the revelation that God is wanting to communicate. And that brings us to today's message. I'm calling it the Easter sign. Today, we're searching for a sign from God. So let's begin with one of the first signs, and yes, it's a big one, and yes, it's still around today, and as I say signs, I want you to use your imagination as we go through these signs today, signs of God. It's like God is holding up something in front of you so that you will see and understand how he's communicating a truth, a covenant, a word to you. And many times in the Bible, God is holding up a sign. He gives us signs. So let's begin with one of the original signs, the Noah Rainbow Covenant sign. Do you know in the time of Noah, God held up a sign in front of Noah and the world? And understand, like many of the signs of God, the world has perverted the rainbow sign and tried to take the communication of God and pervert it into a communication of man instead. So I want to begin our search for the Easter sign. That's what we're looking for. There's an Easter sign God has for us today. And I want to begin our search by looking at the rainbow sign of God. Let's go back to Genesis 9:12. This will be the foundation. Then God said, I am giving you, and he's talking to Noah, a sign. Noah, I'm giving you a sign of a covenant. with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come. You know what that means? That means that's a sign for us today as well. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is a sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. The rainbow is a sign of God's promise, a sign in the heavens to reveal the covenant promise of God for the people of the earth. And what is the covenant? What is the sign? If God has posted a sign in the heavens higher than any man can reach, what is the message of the sign of the rainbow? Go to verse 14. When I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds. And I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. And never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. And when I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on the earth. And then God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures on earth. God told Noah and all that would follow Noah that the rainbow in the clouds would be a posted sign of God. God's holding it up, announcing to the world a promise. Never again will the floodwaters destroy all life on earth. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm happy about that promise, that covenant, especially in light of the recent rains in Kentucky. I'm really happy that he says he's not going to allow them to continue to rise and destroy all life on earth. But I've noticed that rainbows are still showing up. That promise has not expired. He still has that sign posted in the heavens. You can see it when certain clouds form. But today, on Easter, we're looking for another sign of God. And I want you to imagine today that God has posted a sign around Easter. And I'll give you a hint. It is larger than the rainbow sign. He has posted a sign, a new covenant promise. It's not about rain. It's not about floods. This is a different covenant promise. And what if I told you today that Easter has a sign that is larger than the rainbow sign? Do you know what the sign is? You're going to know by the time you leave today. Are you ready to hear about the sign? Do you know about it? It begins unfolding in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. One day, some teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees came to Jesus. Now, who are they? They are the religious elites of that day. They came to Jesus and they said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a sign. We want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority. We want you to post something big enough that we're all going to know that you are who you say you are. Go ahead, do it. Show us something." But Jesus replied, "Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand," notice the word, "would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign," here it comes, here's the Easter sign, "the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." There is your sign posted by God for the whole world to see. Jesus, in this scene, posts a sign. The sign is even greater than the rainbow sign. Now, why would I say that? Why would I say that what Jesus just posted is greater than the rainbow sign? The rainbow sign reveals God's covenant not to destroy mankind by a flood again, and I'm happy about that. But the Easter sign reveals God's covenant promise to raise you from the dead and never die again. That's bigger than any rainbow. The religious people of Jesus' day wanted a sign from God to prove the authority of Jesus. Are you really who you say you are? Show us a miraculous sign to prove your true identity. Now, the truth is this. Listen, church. The truth is this. Jesus had already been showing them many signs, many supernatural signs, but they refused to believe him. He had been showing sign after sign after sign after sign, but they did not have eyes to see. They did not see. They didn't recognize. So he comes and they say, show us another one. Show us another one. Show us something bigger. The Easter sign of Jonah's statement of Jesus was given in Matthew chapter 12. And what's the context? What has Jesus been doing around that time? Jesus has healed the man with a withered hand in the synagogue in that same chapter. He did it publicly. The man's hand was withered. Jesus came in public. People could see it, and he heals him supernaturally. Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead, and he heals a woman with 12 years of bleeding, and he does that publicly. And Jesus heals a paralyzed man. Remember the story when they let the man through the roof, and there's a huge crowd. In fact, the reason they're letting him through the roof, there's so many people there, they can't get in the door with him. And he does it publicly. What's he doing? Sign after sign after sign after sign after sign. And what do they say in this context? Jesus, show us a sign. He's been showing you signs, but you don't have eyes to see. That's when Jesus reveals the ultimate sign. I'm calling it the ultimate sign, the Easter sign, the sign of Jonah. 3 days in the fish. What is the sign? Stay with me. What is the sign Jesus is holding up in the scene? 3 days in a fish. 3 days in a grave, the ultimate sign, the Easter sign. Let me stop at this point and ask a question. Did they get it? Did they get it? Did the religious people, oh, I understand now. Did they get it? No, they did not. Do you get it? Do you understand? What is the sign Jesus just held up for all humanity? I'll give you a hint. The sign simply says, resurrection. Stay with me. It is the biggest sign. It's the only sign he said, I'm going to give you, is the sign of Jonah. So let me stop and ask the question. Did they get it? Nope. The Easter sign of Jonah comes up again. That's the first time it comes up in the Gospel of Matthew. It comes up again in chapter 16. And by the way, between chapters 12 and 16, let me tell you what Jesus is doing. He's doing it publicly. He's doing sign after sign after sign after sign. Here's what he's doing. He feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's doing it publicly. He walks on water. That's in a smaller group. And he casts out a demon out of the daughter of a Gentile woman. And then he feeds 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few fish. And that's just the ones that are recorded, sign after sign after sign after sign. And even with all these signs taking place all around them, you know what they ask him for? Show us a sign. And then this one happens, and the context is so important. Go to Matthew 15, 29. Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee. He climbed a hill and he sat down. A vast crowd, this is important, huge amount of people are there with him. A vast crowd brought to him people, listen, who were lame, they are blind, they are crippled, they cannot speak, and many others. And they laid these sick people before Jesus. And what did he do? He healed them all of them. Everybody they brought to him, he healed them. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak, they're talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking. The blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. What's happened here? Public, miraculous signs. Jesus is posting to the people. He's holding up a sign. I am the healer. I am a healer. I am proving to you I am a healer. And he does it publicly. There'd be no way that you could say he's not a healer because the evidence is in front of you if you can see the signs. In the middle of all of these public supernatural signs of Jesus' power and authority, you get to the next verse. You get to the next, that's the context, and you get to the next verse. And this is the second time, listen, the second time that Jesus brings up the Easter sign. Verse 1. One day the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. Show us a sign. Now, what's just been happening? What's just been happening all around them? Sign, 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 sign. And what do they want? A sign. He replied, you know the saying? Red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. I wonder how many of you had somebody, a parent, a grandparent, somebody in your past taught you this scripture when you were young. My grandmother taught me this scripture. She said, red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky at morn, sailors warn. I had no idea as a kid she was quoting Jesus, but hey, it works. Jesus says, you know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. You know how to interpret weather signs. You can look up at the sky and you know how to signs of heaven, the weather. But you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. You see what he's saying? You can look at the sky and you can understand weather events, but you cannot look around you right now and interpret the reality of your present life. You ask me for a sign when all around you is sign after sign after sign after sign after sign. Verse 4. Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give you is the sign of the prophet Jonah. He's doing it again. The same thing. He's doing it again. Then Jesus left them and he went away. Can you hear the frustration in Jesus' voice when he says this? Show me a sign. Show you a sign. I've been showing you signs ever since I got baptized. I've been showing you signs. The signs of Jesus' power and authority were everywhere, but they keep asking for another sign. Jesus repeats the Easter sign of Jonah as the ultimate sign of God, and he walks away. Do you know why Jesus brings up the red sky at night weather forecast thing? Do you know why he uses that example, the red sky at night? He wants to explain to the people then. Listen, church. He wants to explain to the people then, and he wants to explain to the people now. Are you ready? The signs are all around you. All the time. All the time. I need to do this. The signs are all around you. All the time. If you have eyes to see. Do you have eyes to see? Listen to what he said. You know how to interpret the weather, signs in the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. Jesus is not trying to teach these religious men about weather forecasting. It's obvious that they already know the fundamentals of red sky weather forecasting techniques already. So what is Jesus' point to those religious folks of that day? What is Jesus' point for this people in this room today? What's his point? Do you get it? Do you get what sign of Jonah? Do you really understand what he just said? Why it's bigger than the rainbow sign of Noah? The sign of the times. The forecast is right in front of you if you'll only look up and see it. So two things I want you to focus on. Jesus in this scene is holding up a sign to the world for all future generations that says resurrection, and then he illustrates it by the signs of the times. Those are his illustrations, not mine. Resurrection, sign of the times. The forecast is right in front of you if you only look up and see it. You look up at the sky and believe the weather forecast of the red sky, but you refuse to accept the things around you as equal value forecasters of truth. You refuse to look at the things around you as equal value forecasts of truth. The signs, what if the signs have always been there? If you had eyes to see. The Gospel of Luke records it like this. Both of those were from Matthew. This is how Luke describes it. Luke 12. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, "When you see clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, 'Here comes a shower.' You're right. And when the south winds blow, you say, 'Today's going to be a scorcher.' And it is. You fools." This is the Son of God. "You fools. You know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth. You know how to interpret the weather signs of the sky. But you don't know how to interpret the present times." So let me ask all of you a question on this Easter weekend. And I don't want you to answer out loud, but just answer honestly to yourself. Do you see the Easter sign today? Like now? Do you have eyes to see the Easter sign today? Be honest with yourself. Some of you get it. Some of you are thinking deeply about it, hoping not to be caught off guard by the answer. And some of you, if you'd be honest, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Do you see the Easter sign of Jonah today, right now in this room? I do. Let me give you a hint. Do you see Jesus holding up a sign that says resurrection? It's the sign of Jonah. Do you see it? It's not a rainbow. It's not a red sky. It's not a church called Nineveh where Jonah preached, but it's interesting, we are called Nineveh. Do you see the Easter sign of Jonah today, right now in this room, this moment, this second? I do. And let me tell you what it looks like. I see people all around me in this room. I've been here 25 years now. And I know many of you personally, and I know many of your past, and I know who you are now. I know who you used to be, and I know who you are now. And I see people filled in this room right now that were, are you ready? You were dead, and now you're alive. You were lost, and now you are found. You were blind, and now you can see. It is the sign of Jonah. It's the resurrection. It's here. It's here today. People who have experienced the Easter sign of Jonah, they were, like Jonah in a great fish, dead, without any hope, no chance of survival, headed for the grave, and no way out. So if Jesus is going to use the sign of Jonah as the ultimate sign, and we're Nineveh of all things, let's go back to the book of Jonah and let's look at that story for a moment. Jonah 2, before I get into the story, let me give you some context. Here's the context. God comes to Jonah, he's Jewish, and he tells Jonah, the Jewish man, to go to the pagan people of Nineveh, the Assyrians. Nineveh is the capital of ancient Assyria. And I want you to go tell the people of Nineveh that they've got 40 days to repent, because I'm bringing judgment. You got 40 days. And Jonah said, no, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't like Nineveh. I don't like Ninevites. And if you want to toast them in 40 days, have a nice time. I'm all for it. Kill them all. Jonah, listen, is a rebel. He's a rebel. When God calls him, Jonah says, no, I'm not going. And that's how Jonah gets in the fish. And that's how Jonah gets to walk in the valley of the shadow of death. Now, let's pick up the story, Jonah 2, verse 1. Then, he's in the fish. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. If you've ever wanted to pick a time to start a prayer life, this is it. He's in the fish, he begins to pray. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. And this is the miracle of all miracles. And he answered me. But you're a rebel. And he still answered you. But you disobeyed him. But he still answered you. I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble that I brought upon myself. And he answered me. And I called to you from the land of the dead. And Lord, you heard me. Jonah was in the land of the dead, and the mercy of God met him there. And I just declare to you, I look at this room today, and I know something. There's a bunch of Jonahs here today that you were dead, and you now you're alive. You know what it is to experience this Jonah revelation, this resurrection of the dead. You know, you've been there. There's Jonah's in the room today. Jonah was a dead man without any ray of hope as he sank into the darkness. Go down to verse 5. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed around me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. Now, I need to tell you as I read this next part that this is an illustration. Are you ready? This is an illustration of the ultimate death. It is the ultimate sign, and it illustrates the ultimate death. This next sentence is an illustration of hell itself. Are you with me? Jonah is sinking into the darkness. He said, I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates lock shut forever. What do you think that means? Eternal darkness, separation from God. Were the gates shut forever, but you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. Anybody see a resurrection? As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Do you see the Easter sign of Jonah around you today, right now in the room? They've been singing, they've been worshiping. Crying, some are crying, some are celebrating. Why? They're celebrating the fact that they were once a Jonah. They were in the position of Jonah, sinking to the bottom of the depths where the gates close and stay locked forever. And God heard my prayer, and God reached down and brought me out of that, and I experienced a resurrection. Now listen carefully today to what I'm about to say. In fact, this might be the most important thing I say today. God is still raising people from the dead today. That's his specialty. God, the whole Easter celebration is about this truth. God, right now, today, he is still raising people from the dead today. Let me illustrate. This past Monday, I made a decision to come to Celebrate Recovery. Every Monday night, we have a Celebrate Recovery event in this room, 6:30 every Monday night. And last Monday night, I decided I was going to come and sit just quietly in the back. I didn't want to be involved in anything. I just wanted to sit and watch and listen. I just wanted to experience what was going to happen last Monday night. And I did. And you know what I saw? I saw Jonah after Jonah after Jonah after Jonah. I saw God. I witnessed God who has raised people from the dead. People, the whole idea of celebrate recovery is that people who used to struggle with maybe addiction to alcohol or addiction to drugs or addiction to pornography or addiction to whatever, fill in the blanks, it doesn't matter what the category is, they were in bondage and they were dead, like Jonah sinking to the place where there is a gate that locks and never opens again. And they cried out to God and God reached in and he brought them out of the depths and he resurrected them and gave them new life. And I look, you want to go to a worship service? Go to a Celebrate Recovery worship service. It's like a party. You know why? They know that they are Jonas, that they were dead and now they're alive. They were blind and now they see. God is still raising people from the dead today. Understand something. It started with Jesus, but it didn't end with Jesus. Understand that the gospel is this message. Jesus is the first fruit of a harvest, a great soul harvest of dead people who will experience the Jesus resurrection of the dead. It is the sign of Jonah. It is the Easter sign. Jesus is the first of a great soul harvest of the dead. It's called the resurrection. Jesus is holding up a sign. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, here's what it says. But in fact, here's a truth. Christ has been raised from the dead. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Here's a fact. Christ has been raised from the dead. Changes everything. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, Adam, now the resurrection of the dead has begun. Notice the phrase, has begun through another man. That's Jesus. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised the first of the harvest. And then all who belong to Christ, listen, then, he's the first, then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Did you know he's coming back? Did you know he's coming back? All who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. This room is filled with dead people who have been brought back to life. They are living the Easter sign of Jonah. And what does that mean? Come on, what does that literally mean? Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. Jesus said to Martha at Lazarus's tomb, what? I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. If he enters you, if he, the resurrection, would come inside of you, take residence inside of your body, you will also experience the resurrection because the resurrection is in you. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the resurrection lives inside of you, listen carefully, your soul cannot die. Your body might die. Your soul cannot die. Why? Because the resurrection lives in you. Your soul cannot die. These believers have died to themselves so that Jesus would raise them from the dead. So how do I get this resurrection power inside of me? How do I get that from the outside to my inside? I must be born again. I must be born again. There's something supernatural, spiritual has to happen. And I look around the room today and I say, hopefully most of you have been born again. And he, Jesus, the resurrection, lives inside of you. Your soul cannot die. But then there's another truth today. I don't say this except in love. And there are some of you who are still waiting for a sign. You're not convinced yet. You, like the religious people of that day, you're saying, Lord, show me something to prove that you are who you say you are. Show me something that proves there's a hell out there that I will experience without the resurrection. Give me a sign. Show me something. Jesus makes it clear. What's amazing to me is that Jesus told all of his followers everything that was going to happen in advance. Maybe I need to do this when I say that. Jesus told his followers everything that was going to happen in advance so that when it did happen, you would know that he is who he says he is. And there is your sign. And there is your sign. And let me show you an example when he did it. Luke 9:21. Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anyone who he was. Why? He didn't want the word out, not yet. And what did he tell them in advance? Listen carefully. The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things. He'll be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He will be killed. On the third day, he'll be raised from the dead. You know, he's telling every part of this in advance. And you know what he's doing? He's posting a sign. If you can read the sign, you'll know when the sign happens. He has to be who he says he is because he posted the sign in advance. And he will be raised from the dead. And then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my followers, if any of you would read the signs, if you want to be my followers, you must turn from your selfish ways, but I don't want to do that, then you will die. You must turn from your selfish ways. You need to take up a cross. Well, that doesn't sound like fun. Well, then you will die. This is the resurrection. You need to turn from your selfish ways or you're going to die. You need to take up a cross or you're going to die. And you must follow me. You must follow him. And if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose your life. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost and destroyed? You lose your soul. The only sign, Jesus said, is going to be the sign of Jonah. And what is the sign of Jonah? We are all Jonahs sinking into the darkness. And some part of our life, we are all rebels. We are all Jonahs sinking into the darkness, into the place where the gates close and do not open. And we cry out. Some of us, at some point in there, we cry out to God, save us. This is the sign of Jonah. We have, like Jonah, failed God. And then God's mercy penetrates our darkness and hears our cry for help. Save me, Lord! Jonah said, I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. I see a room today full of Jonahs right now. People who were dead and now they are alive. They've been brought back from the dead. We sing songs. I love the worship time. In all four of our weekend services, the worship has been absolutely incredible. Why do we sing? Why do we sing songs? Because I was dead. I was that Jonah guy going to the gates that lock and never open, and God rescued me. He came into my life and he snatched me out of that darkness. In 1 Corinthians 15:23, let me read it again. But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. And then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. So I want you to do something with me. I want you to use your imagination, and Jesus in today's story is going to hold up two signs. We're looking for a sign. Jesus is going to hold up a sign. Big sign says resurrection. Resurrection. And then he says what I just read, when he comes back. Resurrection when he comes back. Resurrection when he comes back. Let me read it again. There's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Two signs, resurrection, when he comes back. There's something coming that's bigger than a rainbow. Some of you see it, some of you don't. When he comes back, four times in the Gospel of John, four times, Jesus says something like this. Something big is going to happen when Jesus comes back. Something big is going to happen when he comes back. Now, I'm revealing it to you, two signs. Resurrection when he comes back. Resurrection when he comes back. Let me read a few of them to you. Okay, I believe there's power just reading the word. John 6:39. And this is the will of God. Jesus is speaking. This is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but I should raise them up at the last day. I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. Here it comes again. And I will raise them up at the last day. He's going to raise people up. Something big's going to happen when he comes. I will raise them up on the last day. This next one reveals the sovereign work of God in the preaching of the gospel. What I'm doing today is preaching the gospel. I'm just a preacher. I have no power. But the message, the gospel, has great supernatural power. He alone, right now, I cannot open your eyes to see the sign of Jonah. I understand that. Only God can open your eyes to see. John 6:44. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And here it comes again. And at the last day, I will raise them up. The sign of Jonah. This last one is what happens when you are brought back from the dead. Verse 53. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. What? What are we, cannibals and vampires? Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life inside of you. What does it mean? Do you understand what it means? But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I, here it comes again, I will raise that person on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Do you know what it means? Many people come to church, they don't even know what this means. A few minutes ago, when we started this service, we took communion together and we took a piece of bread. It's an unleavened bread. There's no yeast in it, symbolizing the body of Christ. And then we took a cup that symbolizes the blood of Christ. And you know what we did? We put Christ inside of us. We put Jesus symbolically inside of us. We took him, his body and his blood, inside of us. Why? Because he made this statement, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What? Because he is the resurrection. And he says this, he gives us a promise. He's holding up a sign, resurrection, something I'm going to raise you up at the last day. So what is it? If you will put me inside of you, it is when you are born again by the water and the Spirit, Jesus comes and lives inside of you. Let me say it like this. This is the simplest way I can describe it. You must get Jesus inside of you for you to get out of the grave. If you don't get Jesus inside of you, you will never get out of the grave. The grave will swallow you and never let you go. This is the new covenant. It's bigger than the covenant God made with Noah. It's bigger than the covenant God made with Abraham. It's bigger than the covenant God made with David. It's the largest of all covenants. It is the sign of Jonah. It is the resurrection of the last day. The night of the Lord's Supper, Jesus gave the people a new covenant. He took the bread and he broke it and he took the blood and they drank it. And this is it, your chance to get out of the grave. Do you remember how the sign of Jonah started? Listen carefully, let me summarize here. You remember how it started? They wanted a sign. The people wanted a miraculous sign to prove the authority of Jesus. So I'm gonna ask everybody in the room a question today. Are you still wanting a sign? You want a sign? Do you want a sign? Be honest. To prove it, I wanna hold this up and I wanna give you a sign today. It's not a new sign. In fact, it's an ancient sign. 600 years before Jesus, there's a prophet named Ezekiel, and God comes to the prophet Ezekiel and posts a sign to Ezekiel. And he told Ezekiel, listen carefully, he told Ezekiel to write down the sign that I'm giving you, so that future generations will be able to read the sign that I gave to you 600 years before Christ. So Ezekiel writes down the sign that is revealed by God. Do you want a new sign? What if you don't need a new sign? All you need is the sign of Jonah. But what if the signs are all around you already? That there's signs around you right now. If you had eyes to see, you would read the book of Ezekiel and you would see a sign. And what if that sign that God gave Ezekiel was fulfilled literally 77 years ago on earth? In 1948, 77 years ago, something happened that was the fulfillment of a sign that God gave to the prophet Ezekiel. Do you want a sign? What if the sign's right here in front of you, if you had eyes to see? Let me read it to you. Ezekiel 36. I will gather you up from all the nations and bring you home again to your land. Who's he talking to? Israel. I will gather you up from all the nations of the earth where I scattered you, and I will bring you back home. That sign of God was given to Ezekiel 600 years before Christ. Now, I want you to understand something. This is important. That sign of the future regathering of Israel, which happened in our generation, 1948, 77 years ago, was not because Israel was righteous. No, I wish they were. They're not. It's not because they're righteous. In fact, many Israelis, many Jewish people today are agnostics or atheists. And many Jewish people today still reject Jesus as the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. So he's bringing them back in unbelief. He's bringing them back anyway. Why? Let me read it to you. Verse 22. Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. You see what? He's posted a sign to Ezekiel. He told Ezekiel to write the sign down so then in the future, churches, maybe today, would read this sign and be able to see what's happening around them and interpret the times. But you would need to have eyes to see. This sign wasn't the fulfillment of the righteousness of the Jewish people. But because of the righteousness of God, these prophetic events are unstoppable. Let me read again, verse 22. Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. I am doing it to protect my holy name, on which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations. And then the Lord does something, as if that's not enough. He announces that in the future, I will regather Israel and replant them in the Middle East on their land. The land I gave as a covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he takes Ezekiel and he gives him a vision. He gives him another sign. I want to read it to you. Chapter 37. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried up. And then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Jump down to verse 9. And then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and the breath came into the bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet. Anybody see a resurrection anywhere around here? They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. This is not confusing. This is not unable to understand. These bones represent the people of Israel. It's a sign that's posted for future generations. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished, is it? Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. And then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. It happened in 1948, 77 years ago. This sign was fulfilled. Do you have eyes to see? Oh, Lord, show me a sign. What if the signs are all around you right now, but you don't see them? And when this happens, listen, when this happens, oh, my people, you will know I am the Lord. And I will put my spirit in you. You will live again and return home to your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. And I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. You and I live in this generation. 77 years ago, the Ezekiel prophecy, a 2,600-year-old prophecy, was fulfilled in our generation. Do you need a sign? Are you still waiting for a sign? Let me add a side note. Jesus, when he describes the last days, Jesus says that Israel, a fig tree, when it is reborn, when the fig tree is reborn, is that 1948? When Israel is reborn, Jesus says, this generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. Do you need a sign? So the question would beg, how long is a generation? If Israel's rebirth in 1948, 77 years ago, is the fig tree being reborn in Jesus' prophecy, then how long is a generation? I don't know. I know in Psalms chapter 90, there's only one psalm that's associated with Moses. Moses has one psalm, it's Psalm 90. And in Psalms 90, Moses defines a generation as between 70 and 80. And it's been 77 years. Do you need a sign? Do you want a sign? On November 27th of this past year, the Sanhedrin Council sent a message to the Jewish people all around the world. You know what the message was? All Jews worldwide must come home to Israel immediately. Do you need a sign? Do you want a sign? If there was a sign around you, would you see it? You see, the problem in Jesus' day, the signs were all around him. And they said, Lord, if you'd give me a sign, I'd believe you. And he says, the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. But what if the signs are already here? I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be rude. I love you. But if you're in the room today and you're still waiting for a sign, Jesus says you're a fool. I didn't call you a fool. He did. Take it up with him. And here's what he says. I'm going to read it again. Luke 12:56. He says, you fools. You know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. Let me take it a little deeper, okay? I'm going to read to you just the first part of an article from the Middle East Eye. It's published 14 April 2024. Well, that's 1 year ago. 1 year ago. Do you? What if the signs are all around you, but you can't see them because you're distracted by this world? Here's the story. Iran launched a large-scale attack on Israel on Saturday night, firing more than 300 drones and missiles toward the country, most of which were intercepted. It was Iran's first direct military assault on Israeli territory in the history of the world. According to Israeli military officials, listen carefully, 170 drones, 30 cruise missiles, and 120 ballistic missiles were fired at Israel from Iran. Israel military spokesman Daniel Haggai said that 99% of the objects were intercepted or fell to the earth. No Jewish person was killed. And I ask you a question, how is that possible? All those rockets flying in and none of them hit anybody? How is that even possible? Military experts say it is impossible that you could shoot down all of them. Some of them are going to get through. How many people died? Nobody died. How is it possible? Do you need a sign? Do you need a sign? Let me give you another one. You know what the headlines are this past week? This past week. You know what the headlines are? Some of you? Some of you do. Some of you don't. Some of you don't care. Well, I'm not going to quit until I tell you, so let's go on with it. Our president, President Trump, has sent an envoy. His name's Wycliffe, and he's gone to the Middle East, and he's negotiating with Iran to try to convince Iran to discontinue its nuclear weapon program, which is this close to becoming viable. Iran with a nuclear bomb. Now, that's not surprising to me that we're trying to get them to stop with the bomb thing, but here's what's surprising. In the middle of the negotiations, I pay attention to this stuff, in the middle of the negotiations for them to stop the bomb, Iran's president comes on worldwide news, openly says that his revelation from his God is that he must destroy Israel as a command of his God. Do you need a sign? Now, maybe you wouldn't even understand the significance of that unless you read the book of Daniel. Did you read the book of Daniel? Do you need a sign? In the book of Daniel, Daniel's a holy man, and God sends the messenger angel, his name's Gabriel. He sends Gabriel to deliver a message to Daniel. Direct from the throne of God. Here's a message. Gabriel, go tell Daniel. Gabriel can't get to Daniel. You know why? There's a spirit prince of Persia that stops Gabriel. Do you know where Persia is? It's Iran. The spirit prince. It's an evil spirit realm prince, power. He's on the earth. And Gabriel can't get through him to get to Daniel until the archangel Michael comes. Michael is the archangel of Israel, and he comes and he takes care of the spirit prince so Gabriel can deliver his message to Daniel. And pretty much what I'm talking about today is the message of Daniel being fulfilled. But you still need a sign? Are you still wanting a sign? that we're living in a spiritual war. So here's my closing today. To anyone who has not been born again, I'm talking to anyone in the room who has not been born again. You have not been born again of the water and the Spirit. And right now, you cannot say, Jesus lives inside of me. You can't say it, not be honest with yourself, that Jesus lives inside of me. And before I ask a question today, before I ask you this question today, I want you to know that I love you. It was Jesus that said you were a fool, wasn't me. Are you still waiting for a sign? Are you? Be honest with yourself. Are you still waiting for a sign? Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority. That's what they were doing back then, and many people, even filled with churches, you're doing the same thing right now. Teacher, show us a miraculous sign to show us who you are. Prove it. Prove that you are the Messiah, the Savior, the resurrection. What are you waiting for? What would it take? Jesus says that no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws them. Is he drawing you today? Do you feel the Holy Spirit softening your heart so the word of truth can penetrate your very soul and give you the resurrection of the dead? What's it going to take? Do you believe that one day people are going to come out of the graves? No, I just like Easter. What is Easter? It's the idea that there was one who went into the grave, and he came out of the grave, and now he comes into us, and if we go into the grave, we come out of the grave. Do you believe people are going to come out of the grave? Do you believe it? It's the reality of the church. It's the reality of who we are. Here's what he says, John 5:28. It's good news and bad news wrapped in the same package. Don't be so surprised. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Now, listen, this goes two ways. They will rise again. Those who have done good, those who have been born again, will rise to experience eternal life. Somebody say hallelujah. But here's the truth. Those who have continued in evil, they too will rise. And you will experience the judgment and wrath of God in hell. Don't be surprised. When Jesus wraps up the Olivet Discourse, which is his end times description, you know what Jesus says? Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living upon the earth. But stay alert at all times and pray. Pray that you'd be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Don't be surprised. Jonah was a rebel. This is the sign. Jonah was a rebel. So was I. Jonah was a dead man. So was I. Jonah was sinking into the darkness. So was I. Jonah was in the land of the dead. So was I. Jonah cried out to God for mercy. So did I. And God answered Jonah's cry for mercy, and he sent whale vomit. That's how he delivered Jonah. And I cried out to God for mercy, and he sent the only begotten Son. This is the Easter sign. Are you still waiting for another? I'll ask Chad to come on out for the invitation. One last thing. I know, I've been doing this a long time now. I know there are a lot of people that disagree with me on a lot of things. You may disagree with me on politics. You may disagree with me on my view of eschatology. I'm a pre-tribulation rapture guy. I'm premillennial. Maybe you're all millennial. Maybe you don't even know what that means. Maybe you disagree with me on baptism or speaking in tongues or six-day creation or marriage or repentance or fill in the blanks. But I can tell you this today. There is a point you will not debate with me about and I will not debate with you about. It's an absolute truth. Are you ready? in front of you and I is a grave. It is irrefutable. In front of you and in front of me is a grave. You are going to go into that grave. Everybody does. And I'm going to ask you a question today. How are you going to get out? How are you going to get out? It's called the resurrection. And today God holds up a sign. It's the sign of Jonah. Resurrection. He will raise you on the last day. It's a covenant resurrection sign of Jonah. But that only applies if you're in Christ. Is he inside of you today? Is he inside of you? Have you been born again of the water and the Spirit? I think there are two people about to be baptized here in just a few minutes. Do you need to be baptized? Do you need to be born again of the water and the Spirit? What are you waiting for? You want a sign? How much time do we have left? Today is the day of salvation. Today. You got no guarantee after today. Today, he wants to raise you from the dead. No, I'll get back with you later on that, Lord. Today, he wants to raise you from the dead. So we're going to sing this song. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life, in your heart today, but I know this. Whatever he says to you, the only answer is yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's stand.